Welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show. This podcast is sponsored by Scale Up Consulting, helping FinTech startups create a scalable organization to support an ever-increasing demand. When you're ready to grow, reach out to us at richard@scaleupconsulting.co. Now, over to the show with Richard Doty, founder and host. Hello, folks, and welcome to another episode of the FinTech Scaling Show, where we talk to leaders that are shifting the paradigm and we get their insights as to how they are scaling up themselves and also their businesses. So today on the show, we have Alex. Alex is the COO of Pomanda. So super excited to have Alex on the show because he's got a really unique and an interesting background. He's worked as a trader on the trading floor. He's also worked in M&A, and you know, he's done a stint as a poker player. So interesting fact there. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for having me. Pleased to be here.
Brilliant. So before we get the show underway, for everyone out there, today we're going to be jumping into an important topic, really, something that we all as founders, executives and leaders of our own businesses really need to get a handle on. And that is how to create want or demand for your business and make certain that you can sell your service and or your product. And also going a bit further into that, what you should be doing on the internet and how digital sort of will play a role in your expansion. So super interesting topic, super important topic. And maybe we can kick off, Alex, with me asking you how you guys have gone around sort of creating that demand and want for your product. So at the end of the day, there is dollars hitting your bank account.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a long journey, to say the least. I mean, one of the most difficult things that we've actually had to do, I mean, is actually qualify and kind of refine who our actual customers were to start with. I mean, Pomanda started life as a deal matching platform. Our founders and our investors kind of started this off as a wanting to kind of bridge the funding gap, which I know was a buzz sentence about 5 years ago, which was giving access to smaller businesses, those that are less sexy than kind of the high-tech companies, and connecting them with investors and advisors and lenders that might be able to help facilitate growth and things like that. So we went through FCA authorization, everything like that, and it was working fairly well. They built a really nice platform. I came on as the kind of head of CF, and it was kind of during that we actually discovered that there was an even bigger need rather than the funding gap. It was this kind of lack of transparency for the kind of lower middle marketplace. I mean, of 95% of people we were dealing with and 95% of companies in the UK, they're not having to file kind of P&L statements, and they get away with kind of filing limited balance sheets. So it was really kind of an evolution from that. What we were seeing from our current users, what we were seeing from kind of the need and want that people were kind of asking for and kind of looking to get more from us, that we kind of said, actually, there might be a better business, a more kind of valuable business, and certainly something that can provide a larger need to the broader community, allowed us to then transition into the kind of data platform that we are today. I mean, it's very much still an ongoing process. I mean, I come at it sometimes with blinkers on almost. So I come at it from finance background. Our investors are finance guys. Our chairman's ex-Goldman's. Our founders kind of ex-Mellon, kind of fund of funds. So we come at it sometimes from this is what the finance industry wants. This is what finance professionals will be interested in, when the application is so much broader than that. I mean, if there's anything that the kind of last year has shown us, and the pandemic, and I hate to talk about that as it's been done to death, is that the need for and the kind of need to understand who you're dealing with, know your supply chain, know your kind of customer base, has become significantly more important from obviously all these businesses that have been supported by furlough, that have gone under because of what's been going on. It's important to know who you're dealing with and also kind of who they're connected with, their network and their background as a whole, which is what Pomanda's really looking to do, kind of help eliminate some of that asymmetric information and kind of create a bit of transparency in the marketplace. And yeah, what we've been doing has been really interesting. We launched this in the back end of last year. Predominantly, we started off, as you're saying, with creating the kind of the want by doing a kind of basic direct sales approach. We were going to the kind of more influential, larger kind of companies, the big four accountancy firms, the kind of FTSE 100s, the people where they already understood the need, they already understood products like this, seeding the marketplace, getting licenses in here and there, whilst we kind of addressed and kind of dealt with our kind of broader customer base, which would be kind of B to small C, the kind of small businesses where they maybe weren't as aware of these kind of products. I mean, it's very much an educational piece from us. I mean, we already know that the big four accountancy firms, they know these data providers, the financial institutions, they know the importance of data, whereas kind of going to the smaller companies and saying, actually, this would benefit your business is very much the kind of journey we're still going on at the moment and something we're still refining and guessing at a bit. It's kind of trial by error, if you will.
So let's take a couple of nuggets out there. So one is persona. So really, or avatar, whichever way we want to talk about it. And the other is educating a market or educating a specific niche on your product and or services. From a persona or avatar point of view, how have you refined that? What are the steps that you walk through to go, okay, yeah, we have these big four and they all, you know, they're all, or, you know, we've got those big clients, they're there. Where the new clients or maybe the smaller clients, what are the really nitty gritty things that you look for to go, okay, Richard is a small business owner, as an example. We want to be talking to Richard and we want to be talking about Richard's pain points, et cetera. How did you go through that process?
So our head of UX will probably come slap me as soon as he hears this. It was very much we started off with what we thought was going to be our target market. We started off, as I said, with blinkers on, and that's something we really had to improve on. But then literally getting in a room and mapping out what the needs are of each small business owner, where, as you say, the pain points were, going through their customer journey, what's maybe important to them. And again, coming up with hypotheses and testing them quickly, getting to almost quick no's and saying, is this something we think they want? How can we test this? How can we iterate that? How can we kind of...
And how did you test this? Because testing and iterating, I mean, hypotheses are, you don't want them to drag on for like 6 months or a year. You want to
It's as I said, it's an ongoing process for us at the moment. I mean, we use a significant amount of A/B testing. We rely heavily on our quant data. So user interaction, how they kind of arrive at the platform, what they're interested in, what features they engage with. We track everything, as every company kind of does, and probably a bit scary. We have products that allow us to kind of see where the pain points are on the platform, where people are struggling to actually use it. We can watch their journey and see, actually, here's a feature we think would be really beneficial to them, but they're not finding that. They're not discovering that. Like something called our Power Search, which is our origination kind of tool. Very few users are actually still getting to this. So we still to this day are kind of bashing our heads against the wall going, how can we point them and push them down that channel, down that funnel, that user journey, to kind of get the most out of the platform and improve the engagement from that perspective? I mean, we make assumptions that people are using it for information, people are using it to boost leads and sales.
Yeah.
But again, there's only so much you can use for, and again, our head of product is probably going to get angry with me, but there's only so much you can actually deduce from the quantitative side of things.
Yeah.
We're getting a decent sample size, so 100,000 a month. People interacting with the platform. It allows us to iterate very quickly. Actually, if we give 50% of our users this experience, they see this when they land on the page, 50% see that when they land on the page. It allows us to very quickly iterate the kind of functionality that we want to test. We've just recently brought on board actually someone, again, we come from more of the quant side of things and the kind of very dry looking at the figures. We've just brought someone on now from the qualitative side of things as well, who's doing reaching out to our engaged users, reaching out to different personas, building in kind of automated feedback functionality on the site, which I know everyone kind of hates, where it pops up and say, how do you find this?
Yeah.
Abandoned cart flows and things like that as well, which again can help us capture a fair bit more of the kind of qualitative side of things that we kind of get from, I get from talking to the bigger customers and things like that. But again, that's very much a narrow kind of field that I'm talking to. I'm not speaking to the plastering business that's using our platform. I mean, one of our more active users is a FTSE 100 company, and then you've got a plastering business who's using it to source new leads. It's a hypothesis we always believed was the case, but it's nice to see some validation in that as well.
That's awesome.
But again, it's getting understanding what they'd like to get out of it, how they're using the platform, and then adapting the user flow to promote that for our other users as well.
Okay. And from an educational standpoint, because you mentioned it a few times, it seems like there's user journey education, but then there's also broader sort of market awareness education. What have you done or what are you doing to educate maybe the SMEs that need education?
It comes through, again, as you say, the user flow kind of, again, we kind of use a lot of kind of large pretentious words when we're dealing with financial terminology, which we really need to rein ourselves in on. I mean, we originally had a discounted cash flow model for our little valuation tool we have, and explaining to kind of someone that's not in the financial sector what a weighted average cost of capital was like was bashing your head against a wall, and you just come across sounding terrible and like you think you're better than people. So again, it's always been a language in making sure we have FAQs, making sure we have kind of, we're using kind of everyday language, rather like profit or explaining what EBITDA might be. Because again, you come at it and think, this is something I've used in my day-to-day life, my working life. It's not something that the average business owner maybe thinks of. They'll think in terms of profit and sales. Yeah. And again, it's adapting that and coming across and basically making it as easy to digest as possible from an engagement point of view, but from a kind of promotional point of view and the PR side of things. We've not done a lot in the PR side of things in this latest iteration. What we've done is we've built the platform in a way that we can kind of optimize it for SEO and kind of refine those user journeys as well. So how they discover us, understanding where they're entering the platform and functionality that they're wanting to see from that, as well as using, we've only recently, to be honest, started doing more in the social side of things. Again, we brought someone on to kind of specialize in that. We've got a really good digital marketing partner who's been kind of really, really helpful and supportive in helping us kind of educate ourselves in the kind of marketing sector, marketing space. We've brought someone on board who, again, is being more active in the social side of things and making sure we do that kind of Facebook lead matching and things like that. Targeting those people as well.
And you mentioned SEO, and I feel like that's what's probably been a big drive to you, or optimizing your SEO has been a big drive to gaining the sort of the 100,000 views every month, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we achieved that in 4 months. But again, we went from 8,000 in January to 100,000 in April. Since then, Google's changed their algorithm. So we're always at the mercy of Google, which is not somewhere we want to be, but something you have to deal with. So change their algorithm, you get knocked back a bit, you have to grow it all again. Yeah. And something we seem to have got right. But yeah, I mean, very much nothing I was ever experienced with before. I mean, I was used to looking at spreadsheets and going into businesses, looking at operation costs and learning what SEO was is something that was very much an educational piece for me. But again, we designed the platform, my very basic understanding at the beginning was there's obviously long tail SEO and there's kind of short tail, with short tail being focused on blogs and things like that. So we had to look at it and say, we're a small team. There's kind of four or five of us in the office in London.
Yeah.
Like, how do we maximize our resource? How do we get the most out of what we're looking to do? And again, we've got very limited bandwidth based across dev, of promoting kind of SEO side of things and digital marketing. We were looking to say, we can't be writing 2,000 word blog posts every other day. We just don't have the internal resource for that. So what we looked to do was to build our platform so that every unique page, every company page, of which there are 4.5 million active, there's 14 million director pages, all of those can be registered by Google as unique content. And the fact we're updating it weekly and some other things monthly means that it's constantly up to date. It's constantly fresh and it's constantly unique kind of content, which Google recognizes and ranks. So anytime anyone types in, for example, Sky Limited will be on the first page, anyone looking for Sky, which again is something that was specifically designed. I mean, there's still a long way to go in that. I think Google's got about a million and a half of our pages. And now the challenge is, how do we improve that? How do we grow rapidly? What can we do to optimize the page and the platform in order to grow that? And that's something that it's been a big learning curve for us. Talent, all the things that go into it, all the kind of SEO magic is something that we're constantly looking to build on.
And how do you get the, obviously it's good to have traffic, right? So how do you move traffic into sort of a one-on-one conversation or a broader conversation, a webinar, and then obviously down the road into a paying client?
I mean, the user flow is something that, again, as I said, it's something we're constantly working on. I mean, there are certain levers you can pull. You can say, actually, people hitting the paywall. I mean, we operate a freemium model at the moment, and we made a conscious effort to do that because, again, it's an education piece. So a lot of our competitors and a lot of people doing that will charge you thousands of pounds up front before you get access to the platform. And the establishing, as we say, who the target market are, what the donor is, what price point might be, we've learned that in order to educate them, we've got to give them access to the platform. So that freemium flow has been something that's been, the goalposts have been kind of moved a bit. I mean, how long do we give them for a free trial? How much access do we give them? What functionality do we give them access to in order to kind of improve engagement? How often are they coming back to the site? What are they doing when they go there? That's all been really key in understanding where we place paywalls. How do we not irritate them, but how do we tease them enough for the bread trail, the breadcrumb trail, to kind of say, actually, they like this, they're engaged with this. Okay, here's where we can place the paywall to encourage automation to be those automatic conversions as well.
And I mean, that's interesting. And outside of sort of Google and I guess maybe more into social, how are you leveraging your social channels so that you get that same type of traction as you're getting on sort of the Google side of things?
I mean, again, this is something that we're really in the early kind of stages of at the moment. And again, it's very much trial by error. we've done things like lead capture before. When we were doing the seeding of the marketplace, we used the Facebook kind of target audience functionality, same with LinkedIn. We did a lot of direct messaging on LinkedIn to start with. We had someone kind of bashing away saying, these seem like the kind of target demographic we want to reach out to. So again, just manual effort going out to those people and saying, look, we'd love to give you free access to our platform. We'd love to give you free access. Almost kind of like influencers. I mean, we don't really use Instagram or anything like that. We're finding those influential people where we'll start to get referrals, and that be in the form of individuals, well-connected individuals. It could also be in the form of influential businesses. And that's where a lot of our initial kind of traction grew, which was really, really important for us. I mean, on the social side of things, it's leveraging our data to basically say, to make an interesting story or something like that. I mean, we'll say, actually, have you seen, I think we did one yesterday around Adele. She just launched two sites or whatever it was the other day. So two tour dates. And so her site crashed. So our social media manager got on and said, why not check out her shareholdings in the UK? And again, with a new feature we've just deployed, trying to create new functionality and features that we've deployed into kind of relevant and interesting kind of content that, I don't want to say clickbaity, but just allows the user to go, actually, I'm bored. I've got 2 minutes to read something. Let's have a little click on this, see what it is. And again, it's something that is very much something we're looking to improve on and something that we're going to be pushing moving forward just to kind of help get that traction and keep people kind of coming back to the site as well.
But that's, you know, what we're talking about here is a constant communication, a constant outflow. There are iterations, but it sounds like you're constantly putting yourself out there, whether it's on Google, whether it's on social.
Absolutely. And I think our CEO likes to use the phrase, touch your customers more than you're comfortable touching them.
PG is not PG show, so let's go for it, right?
So again, that's done in the form of social, that's done in the form of kind of automated workflows and things like that as well, where based on the interaction with sites, they're going to different work funnels where we can automate a lot of that. Again, as I said before, it's about managing your resource for us. I mean, we can't be manually collating kind of emails and user data and things like that. It's how can we automate a significant amount of that and just kind of add the human element when it's relevant, come up with interesting content, maybe for socials and things like that as well. But again, it's balancing the unsubscribes and the click-throughs to the sites as well, which is something that is a bit of a tightrope to walk, but something we've successfully managed to do so far.
And communication and outflow is, I guess, the definitely a pillar to building a successful brand in the market and also a successful following. From an outflow point of view, so when I say outflow, I mean us pushing communication out into the universe. How have you How have you seen the impact of all the outgoings knock on and have an impact into your incomes, i.e. your revenue and your clients building up over time?
Yeah, I mean, we've made a very conscious shift earlier in this year to focus more on the automation side of things, to be more reactive than proactive with the sales approach. I mean, one of the areas that we identified is that the price point we're charging our product at, you can't really have a full-time person or company justify a salesperson going out and pushing a 240 quid a license product to the big institutions selling four licenses and making under a grand. It just doesn't really justify that salesperson.
Yeah.
So what we've really been doing is we've been focusing very much on the automation side of things and being reactive to people that are responding to our outgoings. So socials, things like that as well. I mean, we get a big four accountancy firm the other day reached out and said, look, we've heard really good things about your platform. We're looking at shifting from a competitor. It'd be great to kind of get in touch with you and see what you can do for us. I mean, a lot of the work we've done in promoting the business, which is still very early doors, has been, as we said, seeding the marketplace with those influential businesses, with those influential people, and then dealing with and then reacting to kind of what we're getting back from it again, kind of reaping what we sowed almost. And that's been key in kind of growing some of the larger deals that we've done. I mean, the automation, as I mentioned, price point we're at, it's you've got to do the high volume, high volume and then fiddle with your conversion points, kind of looking to pull those levers to boost that. But again, some of the larger deals, some of the more significant deals to the business have been very much reacting, almost word of mouth from people that use us, people who've liked what we've done previously. And that's been great so far.
And you mentioned automation a lot. I just want to get into that a bit, because there is obviously, you know, we all know Russell Brunson and his ClickFunnels sort of method. When we're talking automation in this instance, are we also referring to sort of the ClickFunnels? So a user comes in, they can see exactly what's going on, and they have the opportunity to click and then click again to go into the freemium model? Or
we push people. So I'd say 90-odd% of our traffic lands on a company profile page.
Okay.
And that, again, is purely through to SEO. So we have to, again, look at how our users are arriving at the platform and then understanding their journey and things like that from there. So it's been, as I said, we're getting 100,000 people in the top of the funnel.
Yeah.
It's how do we convert those people? What can we, using the data we get and the interactions we can see on the site, how can we move that paywall around? How can we monetize certain functionality? I mean, we've been pushing for a while on how people can use our data, and the importance of that data. What we're now looking to do is almost productize certain functions on our site. So we've seen functionality that people are enjoying, people are using a lot of. How can we package that up as maybe people don't want to commit to a subscription? Maybe they want to buy a one-off consumable. I use the word consumable as we used to do stuff in the medical sector, but so how do we make it a one-time purchase that if you use that enough, they can then maybe say, actually, this justifies a subscription. I mean, we've done that with kind of credit. We've done that with kind of valuation and things like that at the moment. And there's already defined markets for those places. And it's how can we use our data and the kind of USPs of our site to improve and kind of disrupt that marketplace. And that's been something that we're very much working on at the moment, something that's kind of a bit of a light bulb moment of, okay, we were trying to force people down this funnel, but we're seeing functionality they're liking. We're maybe not giving them enough information or educating them enough at the moment as to why this would be beneficial month on month, year on year. But let's get this one-time purchase. How can we optimize and how can we kind of make the most of that traffic we're getting?
And as you guys look forward, I mean, we're coming towards the end of the year now. You look forward to sort of 2022. What are the questions that you as a senior leadership are asking yourselves, and what factors are you considering as you sort of move into the next layer of growth and obviously into the new year?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, prioritization is the biggest issue for us.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a very, very, let's say, entrepreneurial team. We all have our own opinions of what we think is going to move the needle, what's going to be the next big thing for us. So, we're lucky we have a very supportive investor and kind of investors. So it's sitting down, we sit down weekly and we look through we do Kanban, we look through our to-do list, we look through all the dev roadmap, things that we like, we feedback the qualitative data. So what have people said when our people have reached out to them, who's reached out to us, what's going to get that to the next level, what's going to get that user engaged. We then look at the quantitative stuff and we then have an argument for about an hour as to what we think is the most important thing. I mean, as I said, we're doing a lot on the productization side of things at the moment, but it's also, okay, so we've got 1.5-2 million URLs indexed by Google. How do we take that to 5 million? How do we take that to 10? What do we need to do in a dev perspective to actually move the needle there? Is it site speed? Is it core web vitals? Okay, maybe there's a functionality that a number of our users have been asking for. Maybe that takes priority. And again, it's creating a user case as well as a kind of commercial case for this is how we prioritize. This is what we should be doing next. This is going to boost engagement. This is going to boost conversion. And again, it's just weighing those things up and winning your arguments, I guess. But again, for us, that's the big thing. I mean, we've got so many ideas. It's balancing what's going to be the best bang for our buck and what's going to take us to the next level. And yeah, it's constantly changing as and when we speak to people. As I say, we iterate this weekly. And it's just about managing that resource that we have. I mean, we've got a really great dev team, but again, they're not unlimited. They have to sleep and we've only got a certain budget. So what can we actually do to kind of move the needle? And that's really what we focus on constantly. But we're looking at rolling that out, obviously, for 2022. What we see has been the big dev roadmap and kind of big dev milestones for us, rather, as we kind of push that out.
And, you know, as part of this journey, and you mentioned you're an entrepreneurial team, I guess there's a lot of knowledge. You mentioned already during the show, you've learned about SEO and your marketing and sort of the social side of things. But if you take a step back and maybe in your own time, what are you doing to self-educate that you think would be interesting to the listeners to also, you know, take a look at, whether it's a podcast, a book, or maybe a YouTube channel that you follow?
To be honest, I read a load of books about a load of different things. But the biggest and most influential thing for me has certainly been networking. Yeah. So going out, actually, I mean, when you can, get out there and literally meeting new people, meeting people in different kind of roles, and then learning from those guys in particular. As I said, we've got a great digital marketing agency. Yeah. They've beaten into me what SEO is and why it's important. And I can see the result of that. I mean, if you told me a year and a half ago that I'd be leading the SEO side of things of the business as well, I'd be laughing at you. But again, same things with development. I mean, I've got no development background at all, but we have a daily stand-up, and that's really useful for us. It allows our entire team sit down. There's 20 odd of us on the call, and we say, here's what I'm working on at the moment. Have I got any blocking? Anything's blocking my progress? And through that, you actually absorb an extraordinary amount of information about different areas of the business I never would have considered. And it allows you to then go away and target specific podcasts, specific kind of How Google Works was a decent book and different things about that. It's definitely been learning from other people, which gives you a good base level and then allows you to go and do your own research at your own pace as well.
Brilliant. And, you know, I think today's been a brilliant show, because what we've dug into is the automation side of sort of marketing and sales and that whole process that you guys have gone through to build up a pretty decent amount of traffic that's coming into your site. 100,000 people that are...
Yeah, I mean, it'll be over 100,000 now, hopefully, but we're hoping to get to kind of 200,000 by the end of the year again. So it's just, how do we go from that to a million? And again, as our investor goes, our investor's favorite expression is, oh, that's great, when are we going to have it done? So the prioritization side of that thing is very important. But no, it's been a great learning curve for us. It's something we're all kind of learning about. And as I said, that interacting with different people, different kind of sectors you never really considered is massive in helping us kind of improve as a business, and also kind of create ideas that we never really thought of as well.
Yeah, brilliant. And brilliant show today. So just to wrap it up for everyone on listening out there, we've dived into the digital space, you've dived into the automation space of sales and marketing, and how do you really get to grips with Google, and also maybe the social side as well. We've also looked at smaller incremental things such as, you know, stand-ups, why a stand-up is important, and the benefit it can give to you. So brilliant show. Take notes. action and start implementing these nuggets. It will help you on your journey towards growth and expansion. And if you want to drop me a note, if you've got any questions, drop me a note at richard@scaleupconsulting.co. Alex, mate, really nice having you on the show today. Looking forward to watching you guys get that million mark, and I'm sure your investors as well, right?
Yeah, the million users. We just got to get it into, as we say, into paying users as well. Is always a challenge. But no, thanks for having me on, Richard. It's been fantastic.
Awesome.